Welcome to this message on South Haven's podcast from South Haven Church with the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm inviting you to check us out at southhavenchurch.org. This message and other messages can be found on our website or on our South Haven Church app for iOS and Android. And now for a message of hope.
What a great charge. Your time is now. Make the most of it. Can you say that? Can you say that with time? We always want more time. Time is fleeting. Your time is now. Make the most of it. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he brought up this very subject. He explains to them and says this incredible word in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's almost as a warning. It's a caution. He says this, pay careful attention then how you walk. This is your spiritual journey he's talking about. Then be careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And right in the middle of there, he says, making the most of the time. And then he adds, because the days are evil. Because there is a culture in which we live, which is more shrouded in darkness than light. Let's be careful that they're not the influencers of our life. Be wise in how you walk, because the days are evil. Make the most of your time. I always want to make the most of my time. I want to be a good steward of time. I want to make sure that my time is used in honor and pleasing things of the Lord. And we understand that all of us hopefully want to make those good usefulness of our time. Actually, the word time within this verse may be translated in your translation of the Bible. You might have heard it this way. It's also translated opportunities. Well, that even changes the aspect of it. Make the most of your time or most of your opportunities. And actually, you might even have a word before the time in your Bible. You might have heard it this way. It says something to the effect of redeeming the time. And actually, that's an appropriate translation because that really means when we make the most of our time, it means actually to purchase or buy back or rescue our time. Purchase or buy back or rescue our opportunities. And to do that, actually, what does it mean? It means that we're claiming our time from wastefulness and futility. It means we're claiming our time for those things that are God-honoring and for God's purposes. And so once again, we ask a question, are we making the most of our time? In five simple words, he revealed that he was ready to make the most of his time. He was actually going to make the most of his opportunities. Actually, before he made the declaration, before we knew that he was about to make, he was ready to make the most of his time, something significant happened, something so significant, we could call it a life-changing moment. It was a life-changing moment that brought about the declaration of making the most of his time. I'm talking about a man named Isaiah. He was a prophet in the midst of being called of God, in the midst of being used of God, of being a mouthpiece of God. He has this incredible vision of God's presence, to where God's presence fills the entirety of a temple. And overwhelmed with this experience and overwhelmed with what he's seeing, overwhelmed with what he's hearing. What does he hear? You know the passage maybe for most familiar from anything from Isaiah, where the angelic beings, the seraphim, are declaring one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The glory fills this whole earth. In the midst of this, it's amazing this vision that he had and the experience that he had, but it's also in the midst of God's presence. Isaiah discovers who he is. How like that is when we are in the midst of God's presence and we suddenly realize who God is and who we are. And that's what Isaiah experiences. And he recognizes his own sinfulness. And it rocks him to his knees, to where his response back to the Lord, all he can do is just say, woe is me. For I'm ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It's at this moment, what we're experiencing here, and you may be familiar with the story, the seraphim came with the burning coal, pierced his lips, and say, your sins have been forgiven. That's significant because the piercing of lips means that God's ready to about to do something through Isaiah with his mouth. Your sin has now been forgiven. And Isaiah becomes this, here it is, he's a changed man. It was a change. Sins forgiven. He's experiencing the grace of God. Then what we find is not is he only changed, but it's because of the change, Isaiah does something else. Isaiah is not only a changed man, but he becomes a compelled man. What does that mean? That means that he realizes suddenly in the midst of this that who he is, it means that he's changed, now he's compelled. What? Compelled to do something with his life. Compelled to make himself available for the Lord to use in a great way. And the compelling comes like this, because this allows him to respond to God's question when God says this, who should I send and who will go for us? And then he's compelled to say, and he responds. Out of the midst of understanding this, Isaiah is saying, I desire to use my time and my opportunities for the Lord. I'm going to make the most of my time, the most of my opportunities. And Isaiah responds, here I am. Send me. The grace of God has changed a man and moved him to do something with his life. Compelled to do whatever God was leading him to do. What an amazing story. You may be familiar with the story somewhat, very deeply or very much. It's just like, yeah, I've heard that before somewhere. But are you aware how like that story is to my story and to your story? Do you realize that it's all our stories? Actually, this is nothing unlike what we've experienced as well. Now, granted, we may have never seen the glory of the Lord such as Isaiah experienced. And promise you that I've never heard the angelic beings calling one to another. I've not had that experience, and you probably haven't had either. But here's where the similarities come in. It doesn't matter that we did not experience those things. The similarities comes in is this, is that what I'm looking at and what you're looking at is a changed person. I'm looking at changed men and changed women, and you're looking at a changed person. Isaiah was a changed person. Why? Because the presence of God brought an awareness of his sinfulness and a forgiveness of sin into his life. It's done the same thing for me. The presence of God, when I met him as a teenager, brought about change in my life. He changed me from the inside out. He changed my heart. He changed the way I view life. He changed my vocation. He changed my direction. He changed everything. He changed the way I look at God, the way I look at Christians, the way I look at... See, everything changed. We're all changed. When we have an encounter with a holy God and he comes into our lives and forgives us of our sins, there's a transformation that begins and a change that takes place. That's our similarity with Isaiah. We are all changed. But it brings us to the question, and the thought is this. Can we say, because of the change, I'm compelled like Isaiah? Can we say that? Can we say that a changed man is a compelled man? Are you changed? Yes. Then are you compelled to say something similar like Isaiah has said? Every believer should be a compelled believer. Do you understand that we don't get the option of saying, I am a child of God, as we were singing so beautifully in a moment ago. But we do not get the freedom to put any type of addendum to that. I am a child of God, but I am not compelled to live out my Christian faith in a public arena and help people find Christ. You see, we don't get to put any declarative exercise. So when we're saying I'm a child of God, all that comes with being a child of God comes with being a child of God. And that really means that I have a responsibility that I want to help other people be children of God. And it means here, just what is Isaiah saying? We have the responsibility to say, send me. Have you ever thought about send me was a prayer that God would want to say to your life and that God wants to hear from you? Did you know that send me is a prayer that God wants to say yes to? And he always says yes to? Why? See, really, does that scare you a little bit? Because you don't know where God may be wanting to send you? You say, I've known. You know, we always maybe go to the worst. It might be Siberia, Russia. It might be the ends of the earth. You're saying, really? I don't know. But what I'm saying here is that God's waiting for all of believers to say something to the effect of saying, God, send me. Do you know really what you're saying when you say, send me? You're absolutely saying, God, I'm letting you know that I'm not putting any limitations on what you want to do in my life. You're just saying, God, I'm not imposing limitations on my life. I'm not saying, I am a child of God, but I will stay only in the state of Missouri or the states that border this state. Or, God, I will do this, but I will not go across the soccer field next door, whatever it is. There's no wiggle room there. And what he's saying here is just saying, God, I'm taking off limitations. And I'm doing this, and so, God, I'm saying I'm giving you freedom to lead me and to use me and empower me and show me and reveal to me what you desire for my life. And it doesn't matter. See, you know what it doesn't matter? You know what's the beautiful thing about this? Because we're talking about using our time and opportunities for God, and we're talking about reclaiming those. It was the conversation I had after the first service, and a man came up to me, and he says, I'm thinking about the wasted time and wasted opportunities. And I said, praise God that we have grace that covers all of the wastefulness, and that today begins the day of opportunities and time used for God. He was so delighted. At about 80 years old, that he could use and purchase back some time. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. God is saying, how do you use your time and opportunities? Are you making the most of your time? You know what it really means is, are you? Here, you may have never thought of yourself as this. I'm going to put this into your mind this morning. Are you an everyday missionary? That's what it means. Really? You always thought about missionaries. We bring them up here on stage. They come from different countries or from different places where there's people that they're trying to reach and we're trying to support in some way. No, everyday missionaries simply means that we're practicing life on mission wherever God places us. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm practicing life on mission wherever God places us. And what we find here is that is using our time and opportunities for God. That is buying back that time. And that's those five simple words that God says, I'm ready to hear from everyone who calls the name of Jesus and says, I am a child of God. And he's waiting to hear us say, well, here I am. Send me. When Isaiah responded to the Lord's call, you know what it revealed? It revealed the truth. It reveals a truth about each one of us as well. And when we pray, send me, that prayer, God's always ready to answer with yes. There's a declaration being made. It's the declaration Isaiah made. It's the declaration that we're making. And listen, it's a simple word that's actually going to drive everything that we're about to talk about based upon this text out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And all we're saying here, it sounds very simple. Here I am. Here I am, send me. You're saying simply, God, I am available. You ever thought about that word? Send me is about availability. God, I'm available. I've got two sons, 25 and 22, and as they are trying to navigate life as best they can, as their dad, my counsel to them these last few months is simply this. If you simply will let the Lord know that you're available, if you will truly be available to him, there's nothing he cannot accomplish through you. I want you to know that's not for my children only. That's for everyone who says, again, I am a child of God. Are you available? If you just make yourself available, God can do incredible things. Do you realize availability to the Lord means that He can literally transform not only a life, but a family? Not only a family, but a church. Not only a church, but a community. Do you see how the availability is? God, I'm just wanting you to send me. I don't know what that means or what that looks like, but I am available. This is the message that Isaiah was to bring. Isaiah is saying, I'm available. You realize that Isaiah's challenge and charge was to go to a hard-hearted Israel people. People were so hardened, and the people were so obstinate to God, as God repeatedly came to them, and they would not repent, and they would not turn back to Him, but they continued to spurn Him, and they continued to live their lives in worshiping other gods. And actually, this moment in Isaiah chapter 6 is God's declaration of judgment upon Israel. And He comes and says, Isaiah, I need you to be, who's going to go and speak the message to a hard-hearted people? But here's the thing, is that God tells Isaiah, He goes, listen, Isaiah, they're probably not going to listen. He said, actually, their hearts are so hard, I know they're not going to listen. And He said, there's only a remnant, there's only a few. There's a small percentage that will listen, and I'm going to use that small percentage to restore Israel eventually. It almost sounds like He's setting Isaiah up to fail. It almost sounds like a futile thing for Isaiah to do. It's just like, I'm setting you up. You say, you know, who wants to go into that knowing that I'm going in and my success rate is going to be like 8%, 5%. You know, so I'm like 95% fail rate. Who wants to do that? It sounds like God's setting it up for failure, telling him he's not going to do well. And why would he even do it? Because simply this is that we have the wrong idea of success. And God is telling Isaiah, he said, the success is not in the results that you're about to get, but your success is saying, I'm available. That is success. Do you realize, do you know what success is for the Christian? Sometimes we think, well, I'm a successful Christian. Here, I want to give you here, just in my rough estimation, successful Christians are Christians who are obedient. Do you realize that? If we're just obedient, if we're just about doing what God called us to do, that's success. And then what is it? It's the mantra. It's what we've been saying all along for months, even a few years, is that I'm going to be obedient, and the consequences of my obedience are up to you, God. But I'm just going to be obedient. And if I can say at the end of the day, I've obeyed the Lord, I've done what He's called me to do, then at the end of the day, I've done all that You've called me to do, Lord, as best as I can know, I think we can say victory for the day. You know what's interesting about this story of Isaiah? Is he really doesn't know what he's saying yes to. There's not a lot of pre-stuff with God. You know, I think Isaiah is probably aware that there's a problem. He's the prophet, Isaiah. He understands that. But when you get all the way through these first 8 verses of chapter 6, and there's all this incredible vision that he saw, and you get to the moment where he says, send me, in verse 9, God begins to tell Isaiah what he's going to say and where he's going to go. Isn't that interesting that Isaiah never really kind of had a clear picture of what he's saying he's available for? He just says, I'm available. I find that quite interesting. I find it interesting because we like to function on a different level, don't we? I like to know what's all before me, and I like to know what God's going to be doing, and then I like to kind of sit back and understand and say, I want to make a decision of whether I get to do this or not. You see, that's sometimes about our availability. It's that we want to know all about it, and then we're saying, you know what, I'm not available to do that, but someone else will be. But Isaiah says something, he's saying yes to what he does, and he doesn't know what he's saying yes to. But you know what's interesting is that I find God functions through the scriptures. He's more about less details and looking for a response with less details than he is with all the details and trying to get a response. Do you realize that all throughout scripture we discover that God is calling people into relationship and to do something significant and they have no idea what they're saying yes to? Do you realize that when the disciples were called of Jesus, They were fishing. They were going about their daily routine. Everything was normal on that particular day. But when Jesus began to call them, do you realize the significance and the immediacy in which they responded? Actually, this is a mashup of two verses here about four disciples coming and they were fishing. And what it says, Jesus says, follow me immediately. What'd they leave? They left their boat. Two of them left their father. They left their nets and they followed him. You know what they left? Look, they left their boat. They left something of safety and security. They left their father. They left family. They left their nets. They left their vocation. And they're following. And it's not like they had a conversation with Jesus and Jesus handed them the manual. And he says, listen, this is what it looks like to follow me. And he listed it all out, and this is going to happen. And in 3 years, I want you to know, there will be a cross, and there's going to be a lot of disturbed people, and they're going to nail me to a cross. And they don't know any of this. They don't know anything about Pentecost. They don't know anything about how God's going to use them. They don't know that they're a big part of other disciples that's going to transform the world. They don't know that. They don't know that in 2019, we'll be standing here before a group of people talking about what they did 2,000 years ago. They don't know. What does it tell us? All they know is that, God, I'm available. Won't you send me? I want to be on mission with you. Do you realize that the Apostle Paul was a horrible person? You just say it. It's just horrible. What do you call a person that is going around killing Christians and putting others in prison, and he's on his way to put more Christians in prison when he has an encounter with a holy God? Do you know what happened after that? After he recognized and he knew this was God and he knew this was a significant life-changing moment, do you realize what happened? Here, I love this. It's out of the New King James, Acts chapter 9. He just simply says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you remember the Lord's response back to him? He says, I want you to get up and go to the city. And he said, and then you'll be told what to do. My goodness. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, I'm going to tell you, go to this city and you just wait and I'm going to tell you what to do. What is the Apostle Paul doing? He's simply saying, God, I'm available. I'm available to you to do whatever you want. I don't know the details. So it frustrates us so much. I want to know details and then I'm available. No, God is saying, listen, you be available and I'll fill in all the details for you as you go. Oh, I think that's kind of an exciting way to live, to tell you the truth. I just like going through life. I want to go through life saying, God, I'm available. Now, what are we going to do today? What's that look like today? How do I become available and how do I be something you work through today? Listen, Peter and John are going to a prayer meeting and it says that they are walking to the temple to pray. They encounter this lame beggar and the beggar's calling out, wanting food, wanting alms, wanting something. And they walk up to him and Peter says to him, listen, I have no silver or gold for you, but what I do have, I will give to you. And boom, he lays upon him the power of God and the man is healed right there. Now listen, this is availability while I'm going to prayer meeting and they just stop and take care of this lame beggar. But do you understand what happened after that? It caused such a stir among all the people that they started gathering around and talking about it and wanting to know what's going on. And Peter and John look at each other. And you know what they say? Ah, opportunity. And they start to preach and they start to speak. And they start telling all this crowd about who Jesus is. And they start telling this crowd about Jesus and the resurrection and the power of Christ. And you know what that does? That stirs everybody else up. Now the religious leaders are finding out, like, what is all this going on? This is a mess. We got to shut this thing down. So they come and arrest them. Wow, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Oh, but listen, this is Peter and John. And they stand before the Jewish leaders of the day, and they start telling them about who Jesus is and how this lame beggar got saved and how this lame beggar got healed and what the difference was. And they say this, and there is salvation. They start talking about Jesus and no one else. Listen, they're telling lost religious leaders about Jesus, salvation and no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people that we must be saved by it. Oh, what an opportunity. Where did it start? It started with a lame beggar. You know what it started with? I'm available for this one. I know, by the way, you know that big crowd that was at the prayer meeting that day? Bible tells us 5,000 gave their life to Jesus that day. Peter and John were going to church to pray. They stopped and talked to one. 5,000 get saved and they get an audience with the Jewish leaders of the day. Why? Because they were available. Do you see how just being available, do you wonder, I wonder if, you know, it'd scare me to death. If I woke up in the morning and the Lord said, Richard, you're going to encounter a man and then this is all these things are going to happen. I'm thinking, you know what, I try to start making all that happen. I try to force it to happen. I run from it. No, I love just saying, God, I'm available. What are you going to do today? What are we going to do today? You think the boy that had the lunch of the loaves and fish knew that he was a part of a miracle that day when he left the house? That boy just needed something to eat. And all of a sudden, he's a part of a miracle that fed thousands. You know why? Because what he had, is sometimes we just think about, he made available. And he put it in Jesus' hands. And Jesus did something incredible. Over and over again, our availability almost never reveals what God's going to do. And that's a great place to be. Availability is just being on mission with God. Availability means we're going to let our everyday routines intersect with gospel intentionality. Everyday routines. God, I'm available today. When you wake up in the morning, I'm available today. When you walk out of here in a few minutes and go to lunch, are you going to be available? When you walk into a restaurant, are you available? You say, well, I've got eating on my mind. Do you have anything else on your mind? Are you available? Or would you be available for anything else? Are you available at work? Some of you work in some of the darkest and most ungodly places. Have you ever thought about, instead of just enduring your day at work and getting out of there, that you walk in there tomorrow morning and say, God, I'm available today. I wonder what God could do through that. I'm available to be the light in the midst of darkness in this horrific place of employment. Because everything around here is so toxic and the language is so vulgar and the atmosphere is pretty vile, but I'm thankful for my job and they're going to pay me. God, I'm available today. Have you thought about it as students, as you walk into the classroom here coming up in a couple of months, and are you available as a teenager to walk into a classroom and do that? Students and youth leaders, as you're about to head on a bus to go to your student camp, when does your trip begin? Does it begin at the first stop along the way? Does it begin today? Does it begin when you get to Colorado? Are you available along the way and to minister to people's lives there? Are you available along the way? Anywhere. When you go home today, are you an available person? Are you an available mom? Available dad, grandparents, are you available to speak truth into your children and to do something wonderful there? Are you available? Would you ever say, send me? God, I'm available, whatever that looks like. Would you ever be that? I've known some of the most incredible servants of God that were just saying, I'm available, and God did some significant things. Hey, I've got two families in mind that just said, I'm available. You know what they did? They went on a mission trip, and God changed their lives. Are you available? Would you go to Mission Arlington with us? We still have room. I bet we can take 10 or 15 more people. Would you go down there and love on people who are in desperate poverty and show them the love of Christ? That's what it is. There's a ministry in Dallas, Texas, right out of Arlington, Texas, that's blocks of people, and all they do is they give stuff away. Why? And all for an opportunity to share Jesus. Would you want to be a part of that? I've known them. You know what? I've got two families in mind that they said, I'm available. You know what God did? I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you truth to the extent that God, they came back so available that one of them was appointed as IMB missionaries to Africa, and the other one, we went to a mission trip to Canada, and he packed up his family a year later and moved there. You say, wow, I don't want that to happen. Well, I'm just telling you the scope of I'm available. The scope of I'm available is that God can do anything right here or right here. And when you're open to, listen, when you're open to I'm available, you're open to anything God wants to do in your life. I'm just available. What does that look like? I don't know. But it sure isn't casual Christianity. It sure isn't slackness. It sure is on mission, though. And it's allowing our everyday lives to intersect with gospel intentionality. That's when those come together. And we just say, God, you do what you want to do, and I'm giving you freedom, whatever it may be. It's about being available. What does that look like? Send me, God. I'm available, God. I'm on mission with you. Let me give you some steps. I want to give you just a couple of few things here. I'm going to give you four things that just really kind of guide you to help you to be ready to pray, send me. Ready to pray, I'm available. Here's the first thing. Make sure you're just leaving some room for the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, let's not say you've kicked the Holy Spirit out of your life as a follower of Christ, but here's what it's saying is that oftentimes we are so busy as followers of Christ and that we pack so much into our lives that we can't even be moved an inch from our routine and our schedules and our busyness to do anything that God wants us to do, therefore making ourselves unavailable. There's just no wiggle room. There's no margin in my life. Therefore, I can't really be available. I can't even hear the voice of God that's leading me to do something. So leave some room kind of for God to move and the Holy Spirit to move. Here's the second thing you need to be aware of. Proximity determines sensitivity. What does that mean? That's just another way of saying your closeness to God determines how sensitive you'll be to His voice. Proximity determines sensitivity. The more I'm going to stay in tune with God, the more I'm going to read His Word and stay, hang out with God's people and put myself in spiritual atmospheres determines the sensitivity of my heart. And the more I do that, the more sensitive I am and the more available I am and the more ability I have to hear God's voice. Here's a third thing. You just always got to be dealing with personal sin. Deal quickly with personal sin. You know, God works through those who are taking care of personal sin and just always bringing themselves before the Lord. You see, it's not about your past. It's not about your status. It's not about your talent or how great you are. But God loves to use vessels that are honorable to Him. Small vessels, plain vessels, broken vessels. But it seems like God has issues with dirty vessels. 2 Timothy 2:21, listen to what the Lord has to say. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil or vessel for honorable use. Your life will be clean. You'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. And then here's the last thing. You know what? You got to persevere. Being available is not an event, but it becomes a lifestyle. And it just becomes something we do. You see, if it just becomes an event, then we could check it off the list and say, I was available once. God didn't do much that day. Can't expect Him to do much tomorrow. No, it becomes the lifestyle. It becomes the way we live. So God, I'm available today. I'm available tomorrow. And then what we get to experience is, you know what the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, that God then is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Then God says, I can do something with that as you persevere as a lifestyle. And say, God, I'm available today. You know, it's interesting. There's a contrast of biblical characters here that's quite fascinating. So we have on the one hand this man Isaiah who was very quick to say, send me. But we go back in scripture to another man who was very quick. As quickly as Isaiah said, send me, he was all about not me. His name is Moses. I don't want to pick on Moses too much, but Moses did have a rough start. You understand? He killed a man and then spent 40 years and he's just had a rough start. And so here Moses is quickly to say, not me. And so these excuses begin to ensue as he begins to, as God says, I want you to go and I want you to declare to Pharaoh what, let the children of Israel go and bring them out. And so but he's saying, not me. The first excuse he said is, I don't have all the answers. Here, what are they saying? He said to the Lord, what if they ask me your name? Exodus 3:13. What if they ask me who you are? He goes, God, I don't have that answer. I don't have all the answers. The second thing he said is that, well, what if they reject my message? What if they reject? What if they don't believe what I'm about to say? They're going to reject me. Okay? The third thing he came back and says, you know what, God? Why not me? I don't have the ability. You know what he said? He says, God, I don't speak well. I have a speech impediment, and it's just, you're asking me to go and say stuff, and I'm just going to mess it all up. I don't speak well. And then fourthly, actually, this becomes the desperation of saying, not me. This is how emphatic he was of not going. He comes back to the Lord and he just says, God, I don't want to. I don't want to do this. He goes, please send somebody else. Do you realize that it was after he said, not me, that the anger of the Lord rose up significantly against him? Not me. Send somebody else. You know, it's interesting. Think about it. Moses knew what he was called to do. And with every excuse, do you realize what God said to him? God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I will be right there with you. So he knew what to do, and he got promises every time that God was going to be with him. And he says, not me. Isaiah knew nothing about what he was supposed to do and said, send me. You know, it's interesting. I'm wondering if sometimes if Moses' excuses laid the groundwork for today's Christians to have the same excuses as well. I think it's a sad thing that too many churches today, too many people are sitting in today's churches and prefer not me over send me. We prefer not me because we're just waiting for someone else to go. Too many in the church are unavailable. Too many in the church don't want to be on mission with the Lord. Too many in the church are saying, you know what, I just don't have all the answers. Just like Moses. Too many in the church are saying, I don't want to be rejected. Too many in the church are saying, I don't have the ability. Too many in the church are then come down to say, God, not me. That guy, that girl, send them. It's not for me. And just like Moses, you know what we fail to see? I want you to know, God knows everything about that. God knows you don't have the ability. God knows that you may be rejected. God knows your obstinate heart. God knows all these things. You know what? God says, I choose to work through you anyway. If you would just make yourself available, it would transform lives and families and people. You understand? That's what it's about. Our send me's are about others. Some of you are going to do something as simple as give away some ice cream on Thursday. Thank you for making yourself available. And you're going to enter into our conversation with someone you've never met before, and you're going to pray like you've never thought you could pray. And you're going to encourage somebody. See, you're just being available. Some of you are going on a mission to Arlington. Some of you have never been on a mission trip. And you're going to come back and you're going to think, wow, I just made myself available. That was incredible. Thank you, God, for sending me. There are some of our students that have never been out of the state of Missouri, and they're going to be out of the state of Missouri for the first time here in about 10 hours. They're going to cross the border. And for the first time, they're going to be out of this state. And you know what they're saying? You know what they do? Just about students going to be send me? What does that mean? You know what? As a student, you're going to be on mission for God. Would you be so bold before you leave this parking lot and say, God, we're an available student ministry. Do with us as you please today and this week. May we encounter the holy presence of God and impact people's lives. You see, everything I've said has to do with somebody else. When I pray the prayer, send me, God, I'm praying about God. Help me to have an interaction and with somebody else, so I can help them know what I know. So God, I take off the limitations and I just make myself available. Are you available? There was a man who had a habit of visiting an old country store. He would be in that part of the area 2 or 3 times a month. It was an old general store. It was kind of nostalgic. He enjoyed going in there. And every time he went in this old country store, there was an employee there by the name of Jake. And in this man's opinion, and probably true, that Jake seemed to be like the laziest person in the world. He said he'd walk in, every time Jake was sitting down, Jake just seemed like he never did a day's work in his life, and he just kind of sat there. And so Jake, as the employee of the store, just didn't seem pretty lazy. And so one day, the man walks into the country store, and their owner is sitting there, and he looks, but Jake is not in his normal place. And he says, hey, what happened to Jake? Where's Jake today? He said, oh, Jake retired. He's like, man, it was kind of confusing. Like, what are you, you're retiring? Almost like, I'm retiring from retirement, you know? I'm not doing anything. And now you're retiring from that. And he says, well, he goes, well, what are you going to do to fill the vacancy? And the owner kind of laughed, and he goes, "Oh, man," he said, "Jake didn't leave any vacancies." He's simply saying, you know, Jake isn't going to be missed. He didn't do anything. Can we say this for each of us, that I want to be so much a send me, I'm available, and I'm on mission for the Lord, so much so that if God ever chose to take us out of this church, out of this community, or out of this world, that it could never be said of us, they left no vacancy. But it could be said of us, what a void is in this place. What a void it is in this church. What a void it is in our community. What a void it is in this world, simply because we're no longer there. May we be so available that it could never be said of us, they left no vacancy.
Thanks for listening to our message from South Haven Church. If something from this message stuck out to you, you have a question or need prayer, please email our South Haven pastoral leaders at hope@southhavenchurch.org. South Haven Church exists for the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at southhavenchurch.org or join us in person at our main campus located at 16,800 Bellray Boulevard in Belton, Missouri. Till next time.